Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know what I love is we've gotten really combative now where people just say the media. And I do this sometimes too, so I'm not perfect. But they just say, the media says, what are you talking about? I mean, ESPN has a panel of four people. They always pick four different answers. Floyd told me when he was on NFL Live, they'd be in production meetings, and they'd say, okay, we're going to do a segment today on who's going to win the NFC East. So what do we think? And if all three guys in the room said Cowboys, one of the guys had to change it because they had to talk about somebody else. So what is it? The media? The media is hiding from you the... You mean like ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox all get together and say, hey, we want to be the same? And that CNN and Fox News are getting together saying, hey, they're huddling up in the corner. Just like Drew Brees would take the Saints and say, all right, I write Z90 Eagle shoot queen double X wide, ready, break. Have a hard time believing that. But there are some times where the media affects things, and you can use that giant overriding topic, the media, and have it go forward. I see the way college football is covered, and I think that college football is covered differently for two separate people. I'm a college football fan, but I don't wake up every morning and think, college football! I understand there's a lot of people in Birmingham, Alabama, that operate differently, that do wake up every morning, that do know every assistant coach, who's the best recruiter, who's talking to this 16-year-old junior in Florida, who they're going to try to pull out of Mississippi. They're going to do all that. I'm a college football fan who likes to watch the games on Saturdays and sit there and say, ah, Harbaugh with the big win. What's it mean for Harbaugh? And what I mean by this is I almost feel like the obsessiveness of one set of college football fans and the way the media is starting to cover the sport is starting to ruin the sport for what college football is all about. And I'll give you an example. This weekend could be an incredible weekend. Georgia plays Alabama. Now, I think Georgia is going to win. And I think most people think Georgia's going to win. They're the most dominant team in college football this year. But guess what? What if Alabama wins? That changes a lot, right? Michigan plays Iowa. I've heard Colin Cowherd say six times this week, Michigan's going to thump Iowa. I don't know that for a fact. I don't watch Iowa play enough. But what if Iowa wins that game? Then what? Cincinnati plays an AAC championship game against Houston. These games matter. And yet, the way I feel like college football is covered, we act like they don't matter at all. We act like they're foregone conclusion. Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati will win their game, and then if Oklahoma State, they could jump them. But Oklahoma State has to win their game. And I don't know. What if Alabama beats Georgia by 60 tomorrow? Don't you feel a little different than if Alabama wins in triple overtime? We got to play the games, guys. When I look at the NFL, the games are all that matters. I know free agency's popular to talk about, and the draft is fun and gets really good ratings. But the NFL draft is not bigger to NFL fans than NFL games. Notre Dame might make the playoff. It's an outside chance, but Ohio State was in the same boat in 2014, and they won the national championship. And their coach leaves to go to LSU. Why? Because of recruiting. Because if you miss out on recruiting season and coach hiring season, then you won't be able to compete in the games. But Notre Dame still might play for a national championship. But the diehards of college football, led by the media that covers it, and thus pushed for the early signing period and supported the early signing period and everything else that has led, that has made recruiting season so much bigger. That has changed the fundamental aspect of the sport. The playoff has changed the sport. We got Greg Sankey beating the drum like there's no tomorrow, wanting 12 teams so he can get three SEC teams into the college football playoff. But that's all about the money. And I hate this for college football because I feel like in the NBA, games don't really matter. Remember back when Jordan played? Or even remember when Kobe and Shaq played? The games mattered. It was like, man, are Kobe and Shaq going to beat Sacramento? But now in the NBA, it's all about, well, the Lakers aren't good enough to win the championship, so who can they add to go with LeBron that can get them over the top? Remember how, like, in back-to-back years, LeBron was a free agent, and then the next year, like, Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and all these guys were free agents, and all they talked about was, when Golden State season is over, where's Kevin Durant going to go? But it takes away from the games. And the NBA's already decided they want to do that, so they can go knock themselves out doing that. I worry that baseball has decided, you know what? We care more about the money than we do anything else. Let's sign deals with Fox and TBS so that none of our major playoff games until the World Series are actually on broadcast television. But hey, we're getting paid. You know, let's put a game of the week on every single night. Let's get our own network that doesn't criticize the teams at all. And there's no drama in the sport anymore. And let's just go ahead and do that and not worry about the popularity of baseball. But let's go ahead and make a bunch of money. Baseball's decided that's what they're going to do. They already locked out the players. They took their pictures off of MLB.com. But college football's different. College football's about the games. This is a great weekend of games. The playoff, I hope it's going to be fun. You know, Cincinnati plays Michigan if they do in the playoff. I think that's going to be a fun game. I want to see, you know, can that offensive line of Michigan that just dominated Ohio State, can Cincinnati hang? What if Alabama gets in? Let's say Oklahoma State loses. Alabama plays Georgia close. And we get a college football playoff of the four teams that are in it now. In whatever order. So you've got Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati. I mean, I'd love to see Cincinnati try to go up against Alabama. Michigan, and the way they played against Ohio State, you got Nick Saban. Let's see. But it feels like there's so much talk about all this other stuff that it's cheapening the excitement of the games. Notre Dame's a proud program. If a couple of these teams lose and knock themselves out and Notre Dame gets in, they deserve to be there. And Marcus Freeman's going to be their head coach. Because the games aren't important enough. But recruiting season is. And I think with most things in life, you have two target audiences. You have your base audience that will love you no matter what. Baseball, if they actually go on a legitimate lockout strike and they miss games, I'll still probably watch, but you won't. But you got a target base audience, and then you've got everybody else. And I think when you're college football, you want to play to the masses. So a big game with a lot of juice. Saban versus Harbaugh in the playoff would produce mega ratings. Two-storied programs, two famous coaches. It would be huge. Because the average person that's a sports fan has to watch Saban versus Harbaugh. Diehard college football fans gonna watch that no matter what. But the diehard college football fans have made recruiting season as important as the games. Again, I love the NFL draft. I'd much rather watch football than watch the draft. And now we got coaches that are more worried about recruiting season than they are the actual season. So that base college football fan and that fandom of 24/7 that is then led up to the media, which has then gotten the coaches early signing period, which has now seeped into perhaps the college football playoff itself, is now cheapening the games. And when we add to 12 teams for the playoff, if that's what they do, or we add more teams to get into the playoff, it's going to cheapen the games even more. You know, in a 12-team playoff, the first round matchup would be Ohio State and Michigan. Well, then, big deal that game last weekend was. Alabama, we all watched. 10 million people across the country watch Alabama play Auburn. Great game. We all watched and we all knew Alabama's season was on the line. Is Alabama's season on the line if we go to 12? Probably not. So, I just would say this. I understand. Basketball, the NBA, they took the money. Baseball, they took the money in the MLB, and they want more of it. College football, they're all going for the money. But don't ruin the games. The NFL cares about money too, but somehow they don't ruin their sport. And I think that's the thing college football's got to understand. The games. It should be about the games. And look at the games that we've got this weekend. I'm excited. I mean, I'm pumped. I couldn't give two poops about Iowa football, but that's going to be a great game. Iowa versus Michigan, because Michigan's got so much riding on it. And Iowa's going into that game thinking, let's knock them out. And that's what college football should be like. I remember when I was in the seventh grade and Oklahoma was really, really good. There were three teams, Oklahoma, LSU, and USC, and they were all really good. And Oklahoma was the number one team in the country, and I believe they were the defending national champions. And Darren Sproles and Kansas State knocked them off in the Big 12 championship. It was awesome. That's what college football's about. When you think about what makes college football great, you think of marching bands and you think of packed stadiums and you think of Vince Young in Texas versus Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush in USC. You don't think about recruiting season. And that's where I just hope the sport understands where they're headed. Be careful. Remember the one and done. Now, that wasn't college basketball's rule. That was the NBA. But one and done has ruined that sport. Don't ruin college football. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reactions on that. We'll get to Caroline's reaction. Plus, SEC championship game. We got a game this weekend. Georgia and Alabama to get excited about. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN at 1025 The Game. And, of course, we are streaming, as always, on the Game Nashville app.
Coach, I know, I don't know, I'll ask you, but there doesn't seem to be an easy way to separate from players that you recruited. I know what you said to your team the other day, but you know, a lot of people are criticizing you for doing it so quickly, for leaving a team that theoretically, not theoretically, still in the playoff hunt. How do you answer those who have criticized you for that?
It was my choice. I own that choice, Paul. There's no easy way to do this. The group of people that I got a chance to coach, whether it was at Central Michigan when I went to Cincinnati, or from Cincinnati when I went to Notre Dame, and now from Notre Dame to Louisiana State University. It's never easy. It's very difficult. I loved all those boys at every one of those programs, and I put my heart and soul into it. But there's never really an easy way to do it. The way to do it is to get in front of them. I was fortunate that I was able to get in front of this football team that I loved and get a chance to tell them, you know, what I was doing. And that's the only way. But I own the decision. I own everything around it. But there's never really an easy way to do it.
There you go. That was Brian Kelly back when he still had a regular accent on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Yeah, crazy how quickly that changes.
So I saw someone text in. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. I saw somebody said, are Jared's old man rants written or just off the top of his head? Either way, they are always impressive. Honestly, I didn't think I was going to rant about cheapening of college football, but it does bother me. Like, it does bother me. And it bothers me that it's like the games, people just make assumptions. I think what's crazy is we spend all year talking about, you know, who's the best team and who's this and who's that. The NFL is 5 months long. Because February is like a month, like a week and a half. So the NFL is a five-month season. So for 7 months, there's no football. And yet we talk every day around the country about football. And then all of a sudden we start playing games and it's like, you know, the Arizona Cardinals might actually be a pretty good football team. Oh, shocking. Wow. Teams we thought were going to be good aren't. You know, I mean, I feel like for me, this is something that I try to look at and I'm like, okay. I just feel like college football, they're taking away value from the games. And here's another thing that bothers me, because I feel like college football is following the path of MLB and NBA. That interview with Brian Kelly was Paul Feinbaum. Now, I haven't listened to the interview, so maybe I can't criticize Feinbaum. But Feinbaum works for the Ligo Network, and Feinbaum is essentially an employee of the Southeastern Conference. And here he is talking to Brian Kelly. And I don't know how many contentious interviews Brian Kelly wanted to do, but I'm guessing that one wasn't one of them.
Probably.
Do you think Feinbaum said, Coach, what if your team makes the playoffs? Are you a quitter? Probably not something that he asked. I have a buddy that works for the MLB Network. I told him, I said, you know what my biggest issue with MLB Network was? And it hit me during the World Series. And I said, right now, ESPN barely covers baseball. Like, how many baseball analysts does ESPN have? They have Tim Kurkjian, Eduardo Perez,
Jeff
Buster
Passan.
Aldi, Jeff Passan's their insider, but sure, throw him in there, and A-Rod. Like, that's all they got now.
They got June Lee.
I don't even know who that is.
Jessica Mendoza, she's still there?
Jessica Mendoza.
I think she's still there. But, like, when I was a kid, they had on SportsCenter, like, they had Baseball Tonight every night. They had...
There's Clinton Yates, too. He's an analyst as well.
When does he cover baseball?
Almost exclusively.
No, he's on those, or like, around the horns and stuff like that.
Yeah, he does baseball.
No, they don't... No. They don't even talk baseball in Around the Horn.
Yes, he covers baseball.
Doing what?
He does Baseball Tonight on digital. That's where I worked with Clinton. And he writes for ESPN.com. He does baseball articles.
Okay, well, nobody goes, I mean, no disrespect, but like when we talk ESPN, like I'm talking like the guys they're putting on TV.
He's not on SportsCenter, but he covers baseball.
Like, think about this. For baseball, just the average fan, how many people know those guys? Like, I'm sure they know like A-Rod.
And they know Tim Kurkjian probably.
Tim Kurkjian.
He's been around
and
forever.
Buster.
And Jeff Passan.
But that's not the same. The Basketball Countdown crew. Wilbon, Stephen A. Smith, Magic Johnson, like, it's different. And I think the thing that I was telling my buddy at MLB Network is basically ESPN doesn't care that much about baseball anymore, so they're sliding all that over to MLB Network. Well, it's a league-owned network, so they're not going to be critical. You're not going to turn on MLB Network and see people talk about, hey, the owners are a bunch of cheap asses who don't want to pay the players what the players are due. But you could see that if it were not a league-owned network. And I worry that college football, I think it's starting to head a little bit that way, where it's like, well, let's put them on the ACC network that's owned by the league. Let's put them on the SEC network. And I think controversy is good for sports. I truly do. I think sports are a soap opera, and I think you need controversy. But again, we got great games. We got great college football games. And somehow I think the diehard college football fan that cares as much about recruiting season is kind of, I'm worried that they're kind of cheapening the actual games themselves.
Well, there's one thing that you touched on in the last segment that I want to talk about. And you said, you know, Alabama-Auburn was such a great game. I mean, period. But it was even more interesting because Alabama's season was on the line. And if the playoff was expanded to 12 teams, it wouldn't have been as interesting. And I would agree with you on that. And I want to preface this with, I am not in favor of a 12-team playoff. But to that, I've also heard you complain in college football about how on September 30th, your season could be done if you start your season 0-2 or whatever it may be. You have two losses. Your season is done because you most likely are not in contention for a national championship. And that's what a 12-team playoff would do. And I understand that there are pros and cons to both keeping it how it is and expansion. But you can't be in the side of, you know, Alabama-Auburn wouldn't have been nearly as exciting because Alabama's season wouldn't have been on the line in a 12-team playoff. And also be on the side of, you know, college football isn't great anymore because your season could be over on September 30th.
No, I think that's bigger for the individual fan bases, more so than it is for the actual sport. If it were up to me, I'd go to two teams before I'd go to 12. I'd rather do two. Because could you imagine what the discussion would be about who should be the number two team this year? If it were Georgia, there'd be complaining every day about Michigan and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And what if Alabama beats Georgia? And then what? I'd rather have two. Because when we had two, there were every now and then you'd get, you know, USC's made up national championship that they didn't win. But I do feel like I want to go to eight. I'm fine with eight because tonight the Pac-12 championship is on. Who's playing in the Pac-12 championship?
Utah and Oregon.
I didn't even know that.
Well.
And I don't need to know that.
Well, that's the thing is you don't need to know that because they are not going to get into the college football playoff.
Right.
Most likely.
But if you go to eight.
Then it would be important.
Then it's an automatic qualifier.
Yes.
And I'd rather do that. Now the SEC is going to say no to that. And the SEC carries a big stick. But this goes back to my theory that you can't just take the money. I got to tell you, Greg Sankey, I like Greg fine. I really, and I say this like, I'm talking about Greg the guy. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a nice guy. He's always been nice to me. I think Greg Sankey's kind of a fraud. And I'm starting to get a little bit too annoyed with this.
In what way?
Because I don't think Greg Sankey gives a damn about anything except the bottom line. I had Greg Sankey come on the radio show when Will Wade's FBI wiretaps came out. We were at the SEC basketball tournament. It was here in Nashville. He comes on the show. We used to joke that we do a home-and-home with Greg Sankey because we'd go to Birmingham for SEC Media Days. He'd come on the show, and then when he was here in Nashville, he'd come on the show. And, I mean, he was adamant about the cheating and how you don't need to cheat to win in the SEC and how he won't tolerate the cheating in the SEC and how unacceptable it is. He was hitting the table. Will Wade still coached at LSU. Bruce Pearl wins the SEC basketball tournament and says, "Thank you, Commissioner, for letting me come back into the league." Greg Sankey was on the infractions committee at the NCAA. And he's letting these guys in his league.
But Bruce Pearl did.
And on top of it, it doesn't matter what he did. Because the NCAA said it was terrible what he did. Just like they said what Reggie Bush's stepdad did was terrible, and Reggie can't have the Heisman.
Having kids over for a barbecue.
Rules are rules.
I know.
I didn't write them. So, we got that going on. And here's Greg Sankey throwing a crybaby fit about this 12-team playoff. Nobody else wants to be in the 12-team playoff except for me. And nobody wants to do the 12-team playoff anymore because everybody knows that you concocted it with Texas and Oklahoma in your back pocket and nobody knew, and you're doing it for the money. Why is Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC? Is it for the proud tradition of Boomer Sooner? No, it's for the money. Why does Greg Sankey adamantly want a 12-team playoff? Why does he argue every reason outside of the box? Except that it's the money for the money. And again, if you want to go for the money, baseball has gone for the money for the last 30 years. In 1992, there was a Pew Research poll that said the average American enjoyed football to baseball 3-1. 1992, 3-1. And you would think on the surface that 3-1 is bad, right? Like, you never want to be the one that loses 3-1.
Correct.
What would the average American today, what would that be? Football to baseball. The NFL to the MLB.
Probably 3.9 to 0.1.
You think it's only grown by one person? I would argue it'd be like 40-1. That you'd find 40 NFL
fans. Well, I mean, just keeping it to four people. But yes.
I'm thinking you would see 40 NFL fans for every baseball fan, and that might be conservative. So, I mean, again, you can take the money. That's what baseball did. Baseball's done it for 30 years. Look at baseball today. I mean, they don't even get talked about. The Braves won a game in extra innings, and I was working out the next morning, and I was trying to find somewhere that would talk about that game. Weren't talking about it on ESPN. Weren't talking about it on ESPN radio. We weren't talking about it locally, as we should not have been talking about it locally. I had to go to SiriusXM MLB Network Radio to find somebody who was willing to talk about this game. And this is the reality of what I'm afraid college football, I worry college football is going down this path. And, I mean, it just, when we remember college football, like I always try to, I think like getting a little bit older, I've been able to kind of step back for things that bother me in the moment and say, what are you really going to remember about? What's really going to stand out? We threw a party like 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And I mean, everybody who went to that party said it was a great party. And, you know, we celebrated some of the accomplishments that Floyd and I had made as radio partners and things like that. And we had a great time. And I spent some money on the party, but I remember, like, I didn't stress out about it. Like, I didn't worry about, oh, you know, is this over here? Is that over there? Is this over there? Because when all said and done, like, what you remember are the good times. What you remember is the fact that, you know, we had such a great time celebrating each other. I remember I got up and I was talking to the people about Floyd. And like, you know, then COVID happens and then he gets sick and then he dies. And so if we didn't do that, we would have never been able to have that opportunity ever. But those are the memories you take away. That's why my dad and I, we spent so much money going to the World Series. But we did it because those are the memories you take away from. When you think of college football, you think of the great games. You don't think of the great recruiting seasons. You think of the great games. You think of Texas USC. You think of Alabama winning their first title over Texas. You think about LSU against Oklahoma in 2003. You think about Miami and Ohio State, when Miami was unbeaten and the defending unbeaten national champions in Ohio State beat them in overtime. And I just don't want us to get away from the games. And I thought last weekend, the games, 15 million people watched Michigan, Ohio State. That's triple the amount of people that watched LeBron James and the Lakers play a play-in game against Steph Curry and Golden State. Three times the amount of people. That's unbelievable. And so that's just my daily rant of the day. Jared's old, what did the guy in the text line say?
Your old man rant.
My old man rant of the day is, like, let's enjoy college. Let's not cheapen college football. Let's not let the people that live and breathe college football every day, which I am not one of, and you do not need to be, let's not let them ruin college basketball for us. Just like the analytic nerds have ruined baseball. Just like the LeBron Jordan comparisons have ruined basketball. Like, let's not ruin college football because we got some great games. Coming up next, Caroline's coach. But we have got to get to this one.
I didn't pick him.
This is an all-timer. Brian Kelly and why what he did yesterday, which was embarrassing, is actually good for college football. That's next. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go Stillman and Company. So Caroline Fenton earlier today had to defend Taysom Hill, who stinks. Because
I think that you are painting this picture of my perception of Taysom Hill that is totally inaccurate. You think that I am some Taysom Hill jersey wearer, Taysom Hill apologist. No, never have I done that. I just said it is useful to have a guy in your team that can play multiple positions. That's all I said. And you think that I'm like, Taysom Hill, woohoo, best quarterback in the league.
The Tony.
No.
So Caroline's coach, Brian Kelly, yesterday hit the Florida basketball game. I'm sure most of you had seen this, but like oftentimes the football coach gets hired, goes to the basketball game, and we're going to win a national championship for, where am I going? Miami! And the place goes nuts. This was Brian Kelly of Massachusetts and his career at Grand Valley State, Cincinnati, and now Notre Dame. And y'all, this is Brian Kelly.
LSU, 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 LSU. Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet.
Win all my games.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
I think we got the gist there. So, my family and I are so glad to be here at LSU.
It is a great day to be an LSU Tiger.
It's a great day to be a Tiger. Caroline, your thoughts on your coach?
I mean, seriously,
are you embarrassed?
Dude? Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I am so embarrassed that my entire Twitter today was just making fun of Brian Kelly being such a poser and feeling like he needed to do some sort of fake accent and act like he's from Louisiana. Like, dude, we all have Wikipedia. We all know where you came from. And just because the person whose job you are taking over had the thickest Cajun accent there is doesn't mean that you have to be him. And it doesn't mean that you have to be the people of Louisiana in order to coach this football team. It's embarrassing and it's try hard. And the LSU, how it was uncomfortable, like uncomfy. It feels like, you know, that feeling you get whenever you're watching a movie with your parents and a scene comes on that you don't want to be watching with your parents. That's how I felt when I heard that, when I watched that video. Was just like, dude, stop trying to be anything that you're not, because the one way that you're going to get people to, I guess there's two ways. First way is to win games. The second, just be authentic. Just be an overall likable person, which I don't think that is what Brian Kelly is.
No.
But you don't need to be, you know, some sort of fake Caleb Crawdad, Southern man, you know, good old boy from Houma, Louisiana, in order for people to like you, in order for people to be excited about you. Because I think a lot of people are excited about him. So you don't need to say, it's a great day to be a Tiger. No, it's a great day to be a Tiger. I said it. I feel pretty secure in my LSU fandom because I don't have a Southern accent and I don't feel like I need to be in order to fit in LSU. It's embarrassing. It's silly. And just do your job, Brian Kelly. Just do your job.
So I actually think this is kind of good for college football. Brian Kelly was already not liked by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of a jerk and he coached Notre Dame and most people don't like Notre Dame. And so, like, he already had, like, a strike against him. But, I mean, he really has taken the cake this week. I mean, I think he's now the new Urban Meyer. I mean, he's the true villain of college football. Everybody outside of LSU hates him. I am now actively rooting against LSU. I'm sorry, Caroline. I hope you guys lose every game.
Is it Brian Kelly or is it you just kind of want that for me?
No, it's Brian Kelly. Ian, are you rooting against Brian Kelly?
I mean, I kind of already have been.
So, there you go. It's fair. So he just does stuff like this, and it just makes it so much easier to root against him. And I'm rooting against him, and I hope he gets fired, and I hope LSU has to pay him all that money, and I hope it's been, look, and I can't stand my coach at Louisville. I mean, I think that they shouldn't fire him, but I think they should fire him next year. But, like, I can't stand my coach, but I think I'm doing the 180. Floyd hated Chip Kelly at UCLA. Hated him. But anytime they lost, I could never, you know, zing him where it hurt. But boy, anytime Louisville had some kind of scandal with prostitutes or paying players or Bobby Petrino, boy, he loved to give it right to me. And I think that the roles have reversed. I think I'm now more interested in Caroline's program than I am my own program. And I am really starting to hate LSU, not because I don't like LSU. I'm really starting to hate LSU because they got a cheater for a men's basketball coach. They got a cheater for a women's basketball coach. They got this freaking guy with his fake Southern accent. Where are you from, coach?
Massachusetts. You are from Massachusetts.
We got this freaking loser at, you know, coaching football. And so I think I'm actively rooting against LSU.
And I think that's
what's the
fair.
Opposite of G-E-A-U-X go? What's the opposite of that?
I don't go. I don't know. Stop.
D-O-N-T-G-E-A-U-X. Don't go, LSU. I got, but it's good because now there's a villain. I will root for everybody to beat
LSU,
including.
There is one villain in the SEC, and you know exactly who it is.
I like him, though.
I know you do.
That's not true. Lane Kiffin's kind of a villain.
No.
They threw a golf ball at him.
No, but Nick Saban is the universal SEC villain.
See, I think people like Saban. I think Saban, if you were to ask.
I think Alabama fans like Saban.
If you were to ask. You know how they do like these favorability polls for like politicians?
Like politics, yeah.
Like, do you have, if you were to go around the South and you were to say, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Nick Saban? He would be more than 50% favorable. I think people like Nick Saban.
In the state of Alabama.
No, I'll tell you, I think people like Nick Saban. I think they're jealous of Nick Saban, and I think they wish Nick Saban was their coach, but I think they like Nick Saban.
I don't think that people like the fact that Nick Saban beats them every year. So, yeah, call that jealousy if you want, but people don't like Nick Saban because he beats them every year.
I don't think, outside of...
I respect Nick Saban.
Outside of LSU, Auburn, and maybe... Maybe Tennessee.
Oh, and Ole Miss.
I don't think that. I think Saban is incredibly well liked.
I respect him.
No. Liked. I think.
I don't like him.
I think most people in the SEC like Saban, even if they like a team that Saban doesn't go. Saban now has got like because now he's older. He's got the personality. I think Saban's a pretty likable guy.
On
top of it. I think everybody in the SEC hates Brian Kelly. And I think everybody.
I think everyone in college football hates Brian Kelly.
Everybody hates Brian Kelly.
I hate Brian Kelly.
This is good.
I hate Brian Kelly, and he coaches my football team.
Say there's one villain in the SEC, Nick Saban. Come on. People like Nick Saban.
You like Nick Saban.
Everybody. Ian, do you like Nick Saban?
Well, I don't dislike Nick Saban like I dislike Brian Kelly.
Do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Nick Saban?
I would say overall, probably slightly favorable.
Okay.
Is Ian the representative for the SEC?
Absolutely not.
He's more of a fair representative of it than you are because you are an LSU fan.
That's fair.
So that, I mean, I think there was a time where people really didn't like Saban.
I know for a fact the LSU fan base absolutely cannot stand him, but that's for different reasons.
After the Dolphins thing, like, I won't be the coach at Alabama, and then goes to Alabama. Like, I think that probably rubs some people the wrong way. But... I mean, to act like he's Bobby Petrino, like, no. I think Saban has a very favorable view around the Southeastern.
I think it's gotten better with Saban as far as his overall view of not being such a jerk,
for
lack of a better term.
Yeah. I will say this. Like, the two times that, like, we kind of, like, got to hang out with Saban where there wasn't, like, all these cameras around and there weren't all these people or whatever.
He's probably a super cool guy.
Oh, my God, he's so cool. Like, that was the thing I used to tell people. You know, like, you'll get asked questions like, who's the most famous person you've ever interviewed? Or like, and I guess, I don't know, like, John McCain? I don't know. But Saban, whenever people, like, because you know when people are asking you that kind of story, they want, like, or asking you that kind of question.
They want
some
the story.
Kind of story.
Yeah.
I tell them about how hanging out with Floyd and Saban in, like, this room, like, it was, like, this ballroom of a hotel in Birmingham. And, like, Floyd and I walked in, and it was just Micah Fitzpatrick by himself eating Cheetos on the couch. And... we're waiting for Saban, and Saban rolls in there, and then we're just hanging out. Like, so Saban's got, like, 30 minutes, and he's got to go downstairs or something. So we're just shooting the breeze with Saban. And, like, I literally was sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, Nick Saban is freaking cool. And I love Nick Saban, but that's neither.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just fangirled Nick Saban.
Oh, dude, I will not lie to you that he asked Floyd a question about Nashville, and Floyd was like, well, he would know better than I would.
Did you pee your pants?
And so Saban asked me, and I told him the answer, and he was looking at me like his eyes like squared in on me, like listening to what I had to say. And I'm literally thinking in my head, and I will fully admit this, and I'd have fully admit this to Nick. I'm like, I'm hanging out with Saban. Oh, man. Like, that was how I felt internally.
You don't know how I felt when I guess I didn't interview Nick Saban, but asked him a question.
How'd you feel?
Ugh.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm sure he felt the same way.
I'm sure he did.
Stillman and Company, speaking of college football, we got these games to pick. Caroline's is next. It's ESPN 105 the game. Stillman and Company, it's conference championship weekend. Pac-12 kicks off tonight. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman and Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
You said it. We've got conference championship games this weekend. Georgia, Alabama, in Atlanta for the SEC championship. Georgia is currently favored by 6.5. And I think that if you just take the names off of both teams and you look at the records and you look at the stats and you look at the numbers that they were able to put up, the team that the stats that Alabama has, they would be much more of a dog, more of like a like maybe 10.5 point dog if it was not Alabama. But I do think that Vegas knows that people think that, oh, Alabama, this is Alabama. They've won the SEC championship so many times in the past few years that the spread is not very wide because of that. But I think that Georgia, far and above, is the better team. So I'm going to take Georgia -6.5 for a few reasons. Alabama easily could have won 3 or 4 games in their schedule that they happen to squeak out a win. Auburn, for example, that easily could have been a loss for Alabama going into 4 overtimes. LSU kept it so close with Alabama that entire game, and that LSU team is trash. Tennessee kept it close for a half, maybe 3 quarters, and the Tennessee team is nothing compared to an SEC championship caliber team. So I think Georgia absolutely is the better team here. George Pickens is back. He was injured this season. Last year in 8 games, he had 36 passes for 513 yards, 6 touchdowns. Freshman season, he had 727 yards for 8 touchdowns in 14 games. George Pickens is a dog, and I think that he's going to be just another addition to this Georgia offense. So
I'm going to take Georgia too. But here's my thing. If it were anybody else, I would almost guarantee it. But like over the years, when there's a dominant SEC team, the SEC championship is usually not that close. Now, last year was kind of close. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, like when LSU had their great teams, they played Georgia a couple years. It wasn't really a close game. Mm-hmm. And clearly LSU was better than Georgia. When Alabama has had dominant teams, they really haven't been close SEC championship games. Mm-hmm. Even going back to like the 2011 LSU team that just smoked Georgia and Atlanta, like if it were anybody else, anybody but Saban, I would say yes. There's a part of me, Alabama has not looked like Alabama this year. They have not looked like a Saban Alabama team this year. There's a part of me that feels like it's going to be a Georgia blowout. There's a part of me that thinks this is going to be like one of those Saban-Urban battles from the early, you know, 2010s in Atlanta. But I'll take Georgia. I think they probably do blow them out. They cover comfortably. What's next?
Michigan and Iowa this weekend. The spread here is Michigan -10.5.
10.5
is tricky because I do think that Iowa could keep it close enough to cover. So I am going to take Iowa +10.5 -112. I do think it may be like a 10-point game. I haven't watched a ton of Iowa football this year, and Michigan looked outstanding against Ohio State. But I think that Iowa keeps it close enough to cover, so I'm going to take Iowa +10.5.
So I'm not going to be one of these people that's drinking so much Kool-Aid that they think that, you know, because of what Michigan did against Ohio State, they could beat Georgia. But I'm going to say this. I think the monkey is off the back of Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. And I have always thought, like when Jim Harbaugh took that job, I thought he was going to be like Urban at Ohio State or Saban at Alabama. And I'm not saying he is, but I think the monkey in big games is totally off his back. I think Michigan gets it done. I think Michigan is the most intriguing team in the playoff, including Georgia. I think they are the most interesting team to follow. I'll go with the Wolverines.
We've also got Baylor, Oklahoma State in the Big 12 Conference
Championship. Go Baylor!
I mean, I really would love to see Baylor win this one.
Get that mullet, crazy TV watching coach out of there. Get him out. There are no redeeming qualities about Gundy, and there are no redeeming qualities about Oklahoma State. And I hope Baylor wins.
I'm a man.
I'll take Oklahoma State.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State.
I'm going to take Oklahoma. The spread here is 4.5. I'm going to take Oklahoma State minus 4.5.
Go Baylor. Come on, Bears.
But I would love to see a Baylor upset. Dave Aranda, big fan of Dave Aranda, former LSU defensive coordinator, but I think Oklahoma has just shown that they are the better team.
I cannot
stand Oklahoma State beat Baylor Gundy earlier in the season as well.
I cannot stand Gundy, and I cannot, and I just don't have any interest in Oklahoma State.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Get him out. Get him out. What's next?
We also have a few prop bets as well. First touchdown scorer in Georgia, Alabama, Stetson Bennett, minus 120.
You know, if Georgia's going to lose this game, it's going to be because of him. Like, he is the prototypical Alabama game managing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Saban, just like the Titans put the game in Mac Jones' hands the other day, and Mac didn't necessarily win it for the Patriots, but he didn't do anything to lose it. I think Saban's putting the game in Stetson Bennett's hands. I think there's a real possibility that.
But I don't think he's put the game in Stetson Bennett's hands at all this year.
Well, they've never played a team that's forced them to put the game in Stetson Bennett's hands.
That's fair.
And I think that's, you know,
but
Saban,
I just like, I Alabama's Saban's offensive gonna line has given them trouble all year, and I think that Alabama's, or excuse me, Georgia's defense is just that good to get in their face and be able to make that the difference.
That's okay. I think if Saban plays a rock fight where it's defense, 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 I think that's okay. But he's making Stetson Bennett throw the ball.
Question for you, because this is one thing that has been, you know, non-betting related, but I guess it kind of could be.
Sure.
One topic surrounding this game is the Heisman on the line for Bryce Young this weekend?
God, I got to tell you, I couldn't give two poops about the Heisman, and I don't hear anybody talking about the Heisman.
I think because this year is the first year that there isn't really one standout player that's like, oh, that's a Heisman guy.
Like, there's not a guy worthy of the Heisman.
There's
like,
not a Trevor Lawrence.
And give this year's Heisman to Vince Young in 2006, where if anybody else other than Reggie Bush was out there, Vince Young would have won the Heisman.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, if we could do that, like, that
like,
would be.
Like, there were three guys last year that probably could have won the Heisman. All the Heisman candidates from 2019 probably could have been worthy for the Heisman. This year, everyone just kind of seems like, eh, because normally it's the quarterback on the best team. But the quarterback on the best team this year isn't that great of a quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, people were talking about the Haskins kid from Michigan. I had I had never heard of him until last week. And if you put him in New York for the Heisman, I'd be like, okay.
Sure.
You know,
go
whatever.
Big blue.
Those are Caroline, 615-737-1025. So, David Beauclair was in for me on Wednesday. And he had a take about the Titans. That if I said everybody would lose their minds, what was it? Next, Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there again that it is, in fact, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We love Fireball Hot Take Friday here on the program. Let me tell everybody that join ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group as we team up this holiday season to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. More than 4,000 children in the metro area experience homelessness and over 18,000 in Middle Tennessee. And The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Soul for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to these children who are experiencing homelessness. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's four locations through the end of the year. We need your help to give these kids the joy and confidence they deserve. For more information and to donate, go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. And as I donated on the air the other day, I'm in for $500, so anything you can give would be great for the community. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.